Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to the show. My name is Dan Hafner. Thank you all for rejoining the show. If you're coming back, if you're new to the show, you've probably missed our like previous 350 some episodes. So go back and check some of those out. We got a lot of content that we produce here. It's awesome. I have so much fun with it. So I got another cool guest by the name of Kelsey Gilbert Kreiling, who I'll bring on here in just a minute. She's going to talk to us about some Squarespace stuff. A little bit of the no code things. Really, really interested to hear kind of what she has to say on this whole topic. But before I get into that, as always, like I say to you guys, please subscribe to the show, give us a like, give us a subscription or a subscription, a subscribe, a thumbs up, wherever you're watching this, whether it's a podcast, YouTube, Spotify, that's super appreciated. And I have one other little announcement. If you're watching the show on Spotify or YouTube, you can see that I have this awesome, cool new shirt. Says dipped right here, D-I-P-T. And the reason I'm wearing this and I'm telling you about this is because if you guys follow me on social media at all, you'll see that last week we were at an event for the launch of this app. It's called the Dipped app. And I'm here to promote it. I got this cool shirt. I'm here to, you know, promote it and give it some free press. So I helped bring this app to life. It's an ice cream marketplace app, which is really, really cool. Like, a lot of people are looking for hand-dipped ice cream, whether you're traveling or you're all over the country. One of our clients had the bright idea to turn this into a marketplace, into an application. So shops can go on there and list their shop, their flavors, get ratings and reviews. If you guys are familiar with the Untappd beer app, it's very similar. It's just for ice cream lovers instead of beer lovers. So it's really, really cool. You guys can check it out. It's dipped.app. You can sign up for free. You can download it on the App Store and use it for free. Or if you own a shop, if you're an ice cream shop owner by chance listening to the show, or you know someone, you can get them signed up and, you know, even get commissions and all this other stuff and just help their shop grow on this marketplace. So yeah, go to dip.app and sign up. It's really, really awesome. So that's my little spiel for that. So let's kick off the episode here. Kelsey, welcome to the show. How are you?
Dan, I'm great. Thank you for having me. I could talk about ice cream with you all day if we really wanted to.
Ooh, nice.
I would say I'm a bit of a fan, you know, not like an expert, but.
Awesome. Awesome. I mean, who doesn't like ice cream? You know what I mean? Like it's one of those simple pleasures of life. You kind of always Truly. Have to just, you know?
Absolutely. I happen to live in a fairly ice cream dense neighborhood and, no complaints.
Awesome. Well, hey, you know, just there you go. Try out the dip app, man. It's really cool. It's in the very baby stages. We're just kind of getting this rolled out and launching. And I'm just kind of more of the developer side of things, sure it's all going. But it's a really cool idea. It's one of them. Like, I don't usually do this with people that I work with, but like this is one of the funnest projects I've ever got to work on, I think.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I just really like to do that. So.
Isn't it great getting to work with clients that you're very hyped on? Just like you love what they do. You're interested in the work that they're doing. It's a fun project.
I mean, I live in Pennsylvania and I drove out to Michigan five and a half hours to go to this thing. I was so excited and so pumped. I will say I did it a little bit selfishly too, because I'm launching a platform pretty much like this, but just in a different niche. I was kind of there like scouting out like, oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to succeed? But I learned so much. Like it was really amazing. Like I really learned like selling in person. It's a whole different ball game like than online again.
Yeah.
And it's just engaging with people, talking about benefits, not features. No one cares about the features of anything you're building ever. You just saw people's eyes glaze right over the second that came up.
Yep.
I learned so much. It was such a cool eye-opening trip in so many ways.
Now I'm just very curious what niche you're building in. And my guess is it's artisanal dog treats of the world. That's my guess.
Close. I mean, that's, when you said artisanal, it's actually in the taxidermy space, believe it or not.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a platform. I know we're here to talk about you, but this is a cool podcast.
I'm a naturally curious person.
Yeah. So, and I've been sharing this recently in a lot of recent shows. But we're getting ready to roll this out in a couple of weeks. So it's called Trophy Makers. It is live and it's basically going to be a taxidermist marketplace. The world of taxidermy has gotten really left behind with the technology world. And I kind of was interested in, my dad's always done taxidermy his whole life as a hobby. And now he's retired and he does it a little bit more. And being a naturally curious entrepreneur and someone who can build software, I took a look at the taxidermy world and I'm like, there is nothing here that is like even remotely up to date with the 21st century.
Yeah.
So that's it, it's going to be really fun. We're going to two events. There's one here in PA and there's one in Virginia. We're going to roll this out.
Wow.
So it's going to be really fun. But I mean, in the taxonomy world, there's being listed, there's marketing there, but there's education. Like there's a lot of YouTube stuff out there.
Yeah.
It's just a really, really interesting, fun niche. So we're going to see how it goes. We'll see what happens.
I love that. I mean, this is the thing, like you build a career in technology. You can build a career in anything because technology is just the machinery that powers the way that like interest is managed. And it's so interesting that that's like, oh, I built an app for a taxidermy industry. Who knew?
Yeah. And I mean, and you probably went down the same route too, is like, you know, you kind of, I mean, we were talking about this before we hit record, like there's this world now where a lot of people are either needing to have a second job because the prices of everything are through the roof.
Yeah.
Or everyone's like, you know, hey, maybe I really want to finally start this business, whether you're early on in life or later in life.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of like technology does kind of scare a lot of people. And it's like, oh, like, I don't want to do this. You know, I remember going through that. Is that your experience as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, to kind of like take it back a little bit, I co-founded my company, We Get a Website. It'll be 10 years ago this spring.
Nice.
With my business partner, Mallory. And when we got started, it was, you know, this idea that we were going to be building websites for hospitality clients. I had a background in hospitality. My business partner was a owner of multiple like retail locations in Chicago. So we knew a lot about that space and we knew a lot about that industry, and built our process of creating websites on Squarespace for clients in 5 days. From what we knew about that industry specifically, right? They don't have a lot of time. Budgets tend to be a little bit more conservative. There is a creative angle to how we talk about food in restaurants and bars. And what we've discovered 10 years on is that the things that made our process really excellent for that type of client specifically actually applied to a much broader swath of clients in general. So, you know, the outcome is that now we've built, you know, 800, probably closer to 900 websites on Squarespace over the last 10 years for clients that range from, you know, of course, hospitality restaurants to professional services like lawyers, doctors, you know, direct to consumer businesses, e-commerce, et cetera, because the common thread that ties them together is the ability for us to build websites that they can then use and own for their businesses. And I think if you're able to identify like, this is the thread that makes my work valuable to people, then you find, oh, here I am working in all these different industries because like, no matter what you're selling, no matter what you're doing, a couple of things always remain constant in like the nature of creative work and entrepreneurship.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. A couple of things there. I was listening to a podcast earlier where they talked about, you know, like the, all the these fears of recession and like kind of what going back to what we were talking about. And they said something really interesting. It was, you know, if your market value outpaces inflation, you never have anything to worry about. Like that's why people get so worried when they're stuck in a job. It's just like this one skill I have.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be replaced by AI or if something like, you know, inflation comes up and you have to get laid off, like that is a reason to be scared. But if you know that you can continually level up your skill set, level up your value, and then you don't have to like beg like, hey, can I please make more money? You're like, no, like I deserve more money because I get these things done, you know?
Yeah.
But
definitely.
But the other thing you said was interesting too, because I've always had this, well, maybe not when I got started, but I've recently started to rethink this idea of like niching down or niching down. I mean, there's certain things like the ice cream stuff, the taxidermy stuff, the hospitality stuff, like where you find a niche and like it works. But just like you guys, like there are repeatable things outside, like you said, pretty much any business wants new customers, they want new revenue, they got to grow. There's time-tested principles, right?
Yeah.
So like, how long did it take you guys before you realized like, hey, we can branch out into different niches, so to speak, and like your process had been nailed down of like, hey, we have this and we can produce this result and it's valued at this, so we can go out here and do that.
It was shockingly fast, I will say. Wow. Like, because we created this idea, right, that we thought was going to be a perfect fit for this very specific client. And once we got in there and did a few of those projects, we very quickly started hearing from other people that's like, hey, I'm not in the hospitality space. Can you still do this for me? Yeah. And I think that we found like, oh, we were planning to say that our niche was in, you know, websites for restaurants and bars, hospitality clients. But what emerged was that like, oh no, our area of focus is collaborating with businesses that need usable websites that are beautiful and they can actually update and they need them in a quick time period. And so like,
yeah,
we had focused on this topic instead of a way of working. And I think when you kind of take a step back from your business and say, okay, what do I actually specialize in? You find that there's a lot more flexibility in those other areas that may have felt otherwise kind of limiting. I was talking to a fellow agency owner who works in the beer space specifically. And he was like, yeah, you know, there's 10,000 breweries in America. And I thought like, what a weird thing to be able to know exactly how many potential clients you have.
Yeah.
For us, and probably similarly for you, there is at any given point, absolutely uncountable number of people who need websites, a smaller number of people who need websites that, you know, are built in the way that we specialize in. But even in niching down to that specific audience, it's still a very broad category of people. So I think sometimes people get afraid to say, this is who I work with. These are my optimal collaborators, because they think it'll narrow the field too much. But when you really think about the through line of your work and the things that make you the most valuable, you can find your way into like a completely different way of collaborating.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's ways to do that without being like, I work with moms and only moms with two kids and moms with two kids in Iowa and like things like that. You know what I mean? So that's,
yeah.
Yeah. But there's a lot of tools out there. I remember there was somebody that was sending us ice cream shops and there was like 11,372 and or like whatever it was. And like, you could know taxidermists, there's like an exact number, you know what I mean? So it's really interesting. Well, so let me ask you this. Let's go back. Let's take a breather here. So like, so I want to start a business. I have a service. I have a product. There's a lot of tools out there, right? There's a lot of different tools. It's almost overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
Now I see we met through PodMatch and you guys focus on Squarespace.
Yes.
Why Squarespace? Why is that? Is that easier? Is it cheaper? Like what are the advantages to Squarespace?
Yeah. For me, so we run a design agency, right? We help clients build websites. We have always worked with Squarespace because I think of all of the tools that are available, even today, right? 10 years on, it sits most firmly at the intersection of usability and design customization, by which I mean, we can design almost any kind of website on Squarespace for any kind of client. And we can then hand it off to them so that they can manage, edit, and use it. There are a lot of platforms that are very usable. There are a lot of platforms that are very customizable. But my deeply held belief is that Squarespace for our type of clients is the only one that sits at that intersection perfectly. And so I started using it when I was in college. I went to design school and had to build my first portfolio. Candidly, my first portfolio website was actually on Tumblr. And then Squarespace came along. I've been building on the platform for, at this point, probably close to 13 years, which is a long time for platforms in the space, but they've continued to grow. They've continued to push the evolution of the product. And then our agency, we are now actually Squarespace Enterprise hosting providers. So that means that when our clients come to us, if they decide that they want to stay on, we take care of their hosting and also include an hour of support each month. And then we actually collaborate with Squarespace Enterprise to build websites on their platform for enterprise clients. So we've started from these very small partnership with them to now working on some quite large projects. But the reason is always the same. It's usable, it's customizable, and those two things are hard to find in balance.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, for those of you who've listened to the show, like, I, you know, I love the world of no code. Like, it's such a good intersection of usability, but flexibility and capability and a lot, all the abilities, right?
Yes.
So, well, let me ask you, do you guys have like anything you offer for like teaching people to do what you do, or like to, if they wanted to start an agency like you? I mean, I know you're like kind of breeding competition that way, but like, do you have anything like that at all?
No such thing as competition. It's all community. Okay. I don't have a course or anything on like becoming an agency. I did publish a book last year with Pact, which is a technical publishing house called Squarespace From Sign Up to Launch. And the book covers a lot of ground in terms of here's how to build your own website, but if you're going to work with clients, here's how you can do that as well. And then I have a course that came out last year as well with the creative education platform SuperHigh, and that's called Better Than Launched Advanced Squarespace Tools. And that gets into, you know, building portfolios, building e-commerce stores, stuff that goes beyond kind of the basics that you can learn in Squarespace's own documentation. So I've really focused the education portion of my career in those two areas. We're always down to talk about how you build an agency. I mean, I tell everyone every day, like, this is my first time running a 10-year-old agency. And last year I would say, this is my first time running a 9-year-old agency, which is like, we're always in a mindset of learning. And Squarespace has a really incredible community of fellow developers. They have a Squarespace Circle group, which is, you know, all folks who are engaged in the professional services of designing on Squarespace, and it's exemplary. So I would say if you're starting to like, you know, stretch your legs in that area, it's a great place to be because it really has that mindset of collaboration, community over, you know, aggressively competing with each other.
Very cool. Yeah. I mean, I love that you said it's community, not competition. That's such a good takeaway. And you know, I was talking with somebody about this previously, and I think it really is like, we have entered an age of the mini agencies of like the single entrepreneur, 6-7 figure businesses, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I run a lot of mine, is just, it's still just me with some outsourced people when I need help for things.
Yeah.
And I love that way, because it's flexible and I can do what I want to do and I can grow as fast or as slow as I want to grow. Yeah. I actually went through a phase where I grew and then I got too, like, I freaked out and then I shrunk back down. I actually did do that, you know?
Yeah.
But so, I mean, that's really interesting because, you know, I think a lot of people just kind of overlook that with, let's get into that agency conversation, because you know, it probably is scary when you start, you know, like I can attest, I've been in it for 4 years and it's scary. You know, I've never run a 4-year agency before. But, you know, like for someone wanting to start out, you know, like, do you have a business partner? You know, what type of things, like if I wanted to go use Squarespace or GoDaddy or whatever tool it might be, you know, how, if you could go back and do it over again, what would you do differently? Would you have a business partner? Would you do it on your own? Like what would you do differently?
I have the best business partner in the world. So I'm sorry, if anyone wants to have a partner, you're going to have to settle for a second best. We were friendly, but not best friends when we started the company together. And I wish I had better advice on how to choose your partner, because we kind of fell into each other's laps.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've had the ups, we've had the downs. We were just walking into work together talking about like I'm pretty sure there's nothing that could take us down now after everything we've been through together. So I think if you can find someone that you can grow with, there's very little about having a business partner that differs from having a life partner. I think it's a lot of the same stuff. You have to be able to trust. You have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to have fun together. And you have to be aligned on your long-term goals. So I think if you can find someone like that, it's the best. If I had it to start over, if I had it to do over again, I really think the only thing I would have done differently, maybe, is give myself a longer runway from going from working from someone else to working for someone else to working for myself. Because there was some times that I felt like, ugh, I wish I had a little bit more money saved to buoy me through those like first ebbs and flows of the first couple years. But even that said, the way that we started out, like we were pretty bold. You know, we had some opportunities come our way that we said, you know, we're not going to start the company for another 6 months, but we had this person come to us. Let's write a proposal just to practice. And then we got the job on accident. Like we had a check in hand before we had a bank account. So there was really no way for us to prolong that because we just said yes to opportunities that came along and didn't worry too much about, oh, what if we do this? What if we do that? Like we jumped in both feet. And I think that's the other piece of this, right? Find a partner that you can work with. Try to have some savings to balance out the first couple of years, but then say yes to good opportunities when they come along. Don't let imposter syndrome or fear or the sense that you don't know what you're doing. You should come to it with technical skills, right? You should come to it with marketable abilities. But when it comes to someone saying, you know, hey, do you think you could do this job? If you think you can reasonably do it, put your hat in the ring. If we spent time going, well, can you be an agency if you do no code or low code? Can you really be an agency if you only build on Squarespace? We would have missed out on helping hundreds and hundreds of people get exactly what they needed. So that's the fourth thing is, you know, don't talk yourself out of showing up and doing something different before you've actually tried it.
I love that. You just like, gosh, I mean, so yeah, I mean, to get real, real with you for a sec, like I think I did that for a couple of years. Like I literally tried to convince myself that it was okay to do what I was doing, that it was like, yes, I can build a business and an agency using these tools.
Yeah.
I think it's perfectly normal for like, it's so great to hear you say that. Cause like, I think I struggled with that for a long time. And it was like, man, is this really like, I almost couldn't believe, I felt like a fraud. I felt like people were paying me for something that like, even though I was delivering on it, I felt like, I mean, they could have done this themselves. Like, but I took the time to learn it and do it. And then I was like, is this really doable? Is this really something that I can make money at and turn into a career and make like a successful thing? I probably spent a couple of years in that. I'm just kind of almost recently coming out of that of like the last year, honestly.
I mean, I'm married to a software engineer, right? Like we have constant conversations where he'll be like, well, he's now building software for us to like power our agency because we've used spreadsheets for as long as we possibly can. And now we need like an actual tool to manage some of our workflows.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were looking at something the other day and I was like, can I just like give you, I just want to give you color codes and like, here's the font face, you know, CSS to like put in this custom value. And he's like, no, and that's fine. But like, this isn't Squares. Like I have to go in and I have to change each and every one of these hex codes for you. I'm just like, oh yeah, I forget now that like, we do similar things, but we work in different spaces and different ways. And I think it's very easy for that imposter syndrome to be present because there are people who do things that are so much more technical But it's not a point of comparison. It's just different. You know, what we can do is going to be different than what they can do. And different clients are going to find different value in those approaches. You know, one of the moments that I had was, I was just like, because I've definitely thought that, like, well, why would someone hire me if they could do this themselves? Or why teach people how to, you know, build a website if I'm a web design agency? Yeah. It's like, one, not everyone has the money to hire someone, so they can and should do it on their own.
Right.
Two, the people that want to hire someone will hire you. Like, everyone is capable of cleaning a toilet, but people are hired for that role every day. And we don't think twice about it. I'm not comparing our work to that. And I'm not saying that there's any like variable dignity around those tasks.
Right.
But I think it's important for people to remember that, like, people pay for things that they value. So make it valuable to them and you won't worry about them paying. And I think also being very open to the understanding that not everyone's going to get that value, and that's okay. Like, there's a different, you know, there's different fits for different clients. And if you can figure out the people that are most accelerated by the work you can do, just talk to those people and you'll feel great about it. But yeah, I mean, it's so natural to go through moments of questioning, and, you know, anyone who knows me closely knows that we're doing constant evaluation of like, what is what we're offering valuable? But that is the nature of, you know, existential entrepreneurship, I think.
Yeah. Well, we got the podcast title. Everyone can clean a toilet.
There you go. Everyone can clean a toilet. Every one of us should and can, and probably will at some point in our lives. But most people will never, ever imagine coding an app. Most people will never, ever, ever even consider that they could build a website. It is that confirmation bias of people who are in technology that makes our work seem much more approachable than it is, because it's not for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I can share a firsthand experience with this that is literally happening right now. There was somebody that they're not a client yet, but they had approached me through the website that I have. And they had just said that, you know, like, hey, we've been trying, we want to build this internal tool for our company, and they're growing. Yeah. They're like 40 employees, and they've gotten quotes of anywhere between like $250,000 to $500,000 to get these software tools built. And I mean, they're a growing company. They clearly are like, but that's like extensive. And when they came to me and I told them like, well, hey, we could do that for like a fraction of the price. Like, it's still going to be a good chunk of change. Like, it's a big project, but it's not going to be $500,000, you know, but yeah. It didn't come down to the no code idea. Like, it came down to, we can still accomplish what you need for a price that's fair and get you the benefits that you're wanting. And they don't care what it's using. You know what I mean? Like, that's when it like really is starting to click. It's like, okay, like that's where that value messaging comes in. You know, I was telling you before we got on here, like doing this, being at that show for this app that we were promoting, like, was just like a wake up call of like, wow, like you really just have to hammer home the benefits. And there were people that were like super into it, people that didn't care. It was just like, that's just all part of the game. You know what I mean? It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think being open to really leading with that question of like, what does this client need versus what am I selling? It will change the way you think about working with people. Because then if someone comes to you and what they need is not what you have, you will not mourn the loss of that client opportunity, because you know you will never be able to make them happy. And likewise, when a client comes to you and what they need is exactly what you can provide, that fit is going to feel harmonious and that project is going to be better. I think going back to your other question of like, what are some things you would want people to know and think about when they're getting started as an entrepreneur, or as an agency owner in the no code space? you absolutely have to get comfortable with the idea of turning away work. Because if you try to be everything to everyone, you will end up with projects that are 60%. And 60% is a D. It's not enough. And it's not going to be enough to build a sustainable business. You have to pick your clients very carefully and say yes to projects that you can really excel at, because that's how you build trust. That's how you build a niche of success. As much as I say, jump in with both feet, that's do it with caution so that you know you're choosing projects that push you, right? That are at the edge of what you're capable of, but you can still look that client dead in the eye and say, we are a good fit for you. A lot of the anxiety will flow away because you know you're saying yes to things that are a good fit and not convincing yourself and the client to do something that isn't in their best interest.
Yeah, I can 100% agree with that. I mean, and that it goes back to your idea or your point earlier about having runway and having, more time. Because I remember when I started, if I could go back and do it again, I would do that exactly. Turn away work. Because I was in a place where I didn't have a runway. And I had to take anything I could get just for money. And it worked out, but then sometimes it didn't. Like a couple of things, it really didn't work out at all. But, it's interesting you say that, because it took me 4 years, but I was like, hey, I do this for a living. Like, I built a tool that's literally called my confidence score. And what I actually did was I said, okay, somebody's coming to me with this idea. What's on a scale of 1 to 10, what's my confidence level that what they're looking for in terms of features and technical specs, like I can actually do 1 to 10,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The other thing is timing, like inside of maybe, like I had a guy the other day, he was like, I want this. Will that take like a couple of weeks? And I was like, well, yeah, but it's going to be an upcharge. I mean, like yeah. Probably not. I mean, I could, but you're going to pay a lot more for that. Yeah. So the timing score and then the pricing again, there's people that come to you and they want this, but then their budget's like $200. And it's like, well, that doesn't really give me a lot of room and leeway to do what I need to do,
Yeah.
So, can you actually do like the confidence of, can you do what is being asked? Can you do it in a timeline that they're expecting? Yeah. And do you feel comfortable with what they're, maybe $200 for you, $300 for you is great when you're starting out, but like for what you're being paid, are you confident that that's going to be enough for you to, when you get 20 hours into this project, you're like, man, I really got underpaid for this thing. You know what I mean?
I mean, and I think like when we go back to that idea of collaboration or competition, to me, you're right. Like there for us, we wouldn't be able to do good work with a budget that low. But if you stay tapped into your community, ideally you have the name of someone you can refer to who is looking to build their business, who is looking to accumulate more clients, who might be a good fit. And I think that's like when you start seeing yourself as a member of community, you start seeing the spectrum of experiences that can help you match that client with someone who can get done what they need to get done. And in that case, you're building confidence with that client who maybe comes back to you at some point in the future and says, you know what? I didn't have the money to work with you then. You got me set up with someone who could help me solve the problem in the short term. But now I'm back and I'm funded and I want you to work on it because you built trust with me in our relationship. Like everyone, it's easy to slip into a short-term view of client relationships. But if you can step back from that and look at it over the longer term to just say like, how do I grow into the business I want to be? How do I cultivate a community of people around me that I can collaborate with? And then how do I start building long-term client relationships? Even if you're a one-off provider, it's way more fun that way. Like you start seeing yourself as a part of an ecosystem and not as the shark that has to eat it all to survive. Because that's not nearly as fun, but also I think it's not nearly as sustainable. Working for yourself on your own can be very, very lonely and it can be very, very hard. And it can feel like a bit of a zero sum game we've always taken our sales approach as more of a matching. Like, are we a match for this client?
Yeah.
And that takes the pressure off, because it's just like, of course we want to have, you know, we want to hit goals, but we want to hit goals with good clients. It's important.
Yeah. Does it make sense? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So another thing I want, we're changing topics a little bit here, but I wanted to talk, I always like to talk to everyone about this awesome, cool topic of AI, right? So I'm curious, does Squarespace have a lot of AI stuff? Are they bringing on more things? Are you guys as an agency taking advantage of the AI wave? Like what's your thoughts on all this stuff?
Yeah. So my overarching thought on AI in creative spaces is that it's a great way for people who run businesses to expedite the stuff that slows them down. Yeah. And takes up their non-creative working hours. Squarespace has a generative text tool that's now a part of the CMS, which I think is an amazing replacement for dropping in lorem ipsum, right?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we're able to do is if a client doesn't have copy for us, instead of putting in, you know, a block of lorem ipsum, we'll now be able to say, write me 3 sentences about an upcoming event for a nonprofit organization that is raising money for women. It can generate it, and they have a jumping off point for their own next creative process, right? So I think in that case, it can be really, really helpful. We do have a running commentary on hilariously bad AI generated images that clients have provided for us to use. The hands and feet haunt my dreams. So that is, you know, a funny piece of how AI works. But for me, like in my role as a agency owner and someone who drives a lot of our business development, like Fireflies has been like very, very useful to us because it'll transcribe conversations. And then there are apps that you can use to say like, all right, pull out, you know, the, you know, budget needs, timing, all of that from these conversations that has expedited the process of getting proposals out to clients faster and easier. So I really think it's an amazing tool to help cut down on some of the really time intensive, like administrative work. I don't see it ever replacing the relationship and the conversations that happens between us and a client, because half of our job is just like being a detective and understanding what it is they want and need, even if they can't say it and articulate it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess it's kind of like a measured neutral. It doesn't freak me out. It doesn't blow my mind, but either way, I'm kind of in a middle place where it's like, it's another tool. What do we need to use this tool for?
Yeah. I mean, we have this, we say it all again and again, you know, and it's like I mentioned earlier, like if your value outpaces the market, you know, you don't have to be scared of things like AI, you know,
yeah.
So learn to use it and learn to master it. I totally agree with you. I've been using it for all kinds of different stuff that I just don't want to do, like writing emails or writing copy and like different stuff like that. It's like, yep. But that's really interesting. You said the generative text, like, so what if every tool used that? Does lorem ipsum be replaced by AI? Is it like a non-needed thing anymore?
It's an interesting question. I mean, yeah, it's there's no meaning to it, right? It's just fake language. So
yeah,
sense that lorem ipsum is just a visual way to take up space. Using generative text at least brings meaning and context to the page. I don't want to dive too far into that, but I think it's an interesting question for the future of like specifically web copy. You know, my understanding is that if you train AI on AI content, eventually it eats itself. So I think we will always continue to need a human touch. Because this is the seed of creativity. But yeah, I mean, it's the good news is no one will be harmed in the disappearance of lorem ipsum. But I do think it's worth contemplating whether or not we want to like fill the internet with AI generated content. But again, lorem ipsum doesn't mean anything anyway. So
it's a horse piece, I guess. I don't know. Interesting. Yeah, just a random thought when you were saying that. So anyways, thank you for coming on. I think we're going to make this a wrap. So this was really, really, really educational. So, you know, hey, where can people go to check you out and get more information?
Yeah. So we have a beautiful new website up at weekofthewebsite.com. Where you can find lots of information about how we work with clients to build them websites, how we partner with other agencies who need websites for their clients, whether it's marketing, branding, et cetera. We're on social as Week of the Website. So you'll see myself and my business partner, Mallory, floating around there. And I'm just so grateful that you had me on today. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, I know we had to reschedule this a couple of times, so I really appreciate you being flexible. Kelsey's a great guest. And if you're listening to this and you want to have her on the show, I highly recommend her. So it's very, very awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. So it's weekofthewebsite.com. If you wouldn't mind, we'll also put your book link down here. I think that would be really helpful.
Yeah, I'll share the link to the book and course for you.
Yeah, so we'll have all that stuff for you guys in the show notes down here. So. All right, Kelsey, thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming on. This was really fun. I hope to have you on here again someday soon. So yeah, guys, go check it out. Week of the Website. I'm sure they'd be able to help you guys, you know, no matter what you're kind of looking for, as we talked about with the niching. Is it niche or is it niche? And everyone says
I've always said niche, but I've heard people say niche a lot more lately. So I don't know if I'm wrong.
I go back and forth. I don't know, whatever. All right. Anyway, appreciate all of you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kelsey. We'll see you soon. And that is it for all of us. Get the Dipped app also brought to you by the Dipped app. The Tech Bites show brought to you by that. All right, guys. Appreciate all of you. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time. Bye, Kelsey. Have a good one.
Bye.